hear the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as it is recorded by St. Matthew in chapter 5, beginning to read at verse 14, part of the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus says, "You are light for all worlds. A town that stands on a hill cannot be hidden. When a lamp is lit, it is not put under the meal tub, but on the lampstand, where it gives light to everyone in the house. Like the lamp, you must shed light among your fellows, so that when they see the good you do, they may give praise to your Father in heaven." Thanks be to God. With great joy, Margaret and I have travelled all the way from the Kingdom of Fife to be with you today, and so has Ben and his family, and Sheena has come from Paisley, and Anna is never far away in a place called Hollywood. But I must thank you for the great honour which you have done me in inviting me to preach and to open to you the scriptures on this memorable occasion. It seems like only yesterday. How often have you said that since you got older? It seems like only yesterday that we were celebrating the 50th anniversary of this building, and yet sure enough it was 25 years ago, quarter of a century. During that time, the buildings have been under the constant care of the Fabric Committee, and you have spent much of your time, freely and lovingly given, in preserving and improving the buildings, and you have given much money as well. Even so, the buildings have not changed as much as you have. The building has aged by a quarter of a century, but it stands here recognizably the same, a landmark of Wheeler Hill and the Bourneville Village Trust. We, on the other hand, might be difficult to recognize after 25 years, and certainly we would be unrecognizable by anybody who hadn't seen us for 75 years. I was 1 year old then, and I'm sure I looked different. I'm pretty sure I didn't have a beard in those days. As a congregation, you have changed in the past 25 years, let alone the past 75, not simply in looks, but, for want of a better word, in composition. What I mean is that so many of the saints who worshipped with us in days gone past are now beyond all change and worship unceasingly in the highest glory. It is difficult for me to stand here and not see those faces loved long since and lost a while, as that man from the oratory said in his hymn. And that brings us at once to the dilemma we are in today, especially the dilemma of the preacher, that we are here to celebrate the 75th anniversary of a building, not the 75th anniversary of a church, because we all know that a church is not a building, it is a living body, not stones, not even bricks, nor mortar. So strongly is this our belief in the Reformed tradition that we must ask at this point whether the building is of any importance at all. I well remember John Huxtable preaching at the opening of the new building of the Congregational Church, as it then was in Newmarket, where the horses race, at a time when money was scarce and the needs of society at home and abroad were great. He based what he had to say on the story of the woman who anointed Jesus with a bottle of very costly ointment. And John Huxtable took as his text for the opening of the new building the words of the indignant disciples, "Why this waste?" We need to be reminded then from time to time of the importance of a building. Of course the church is the people, of course people can worship God anywhere. But where there is a building, it has an important part to play in the divine scheme of things. Offering the prayer at the dedication of the temple he had built, Solomon said, "Heaven itself, the highest heaven, cannot contain you. How much less this house which I have built?" We must never lose sight of the glory that attaches to this place, a place of sanctity and holiness, where people may compose their very selves in the presence of the eternal God. Here you are confronted with the deepest mysteries, mysteries that the human mind has never fathomed and never will fathom until this mortal has put on immortality. Solomon begins his prayer with the words, "The Lord has caused his sun to shine in heaven, but he has said that he will dwell in thick darkness." When the world is dark and life is inexplicable, here is a place to which you may turn and be reminded of the living God whose sun shines beyond the darkness. This building is a sign to all who see it that the unapproachable divine glory is willing to be approached. This is where the building and the people join in one and have the same purpose. This building stands here grandly, marking the place of which God has said, "My name will be there." And it was of people that Jesus said, "You are light for all the world. A town that stands on a hill cannot be hidden." And St. Paul tells you to shine like stars in a dark world and to proffer the word of life. The expense of church buildings is much argued about today, but that's not all that's argued about. People are asking whether there is any use in a church at all, any use in the people, let alone the building. Aren't your ideas outdated, of no further use in the 21st century? Many of our contemporaries in this country think like that today. They could not be more wrong. Never was the greater need of your witness, never greater need of the sacraments you offer, showing that the name is here. Never greater need of the gospel you publish to all the world in word and in action. We live in a country that is governed by the shallow thinking of the tabloid press, which thinks of justice in terms of revenge and knows nothing of regeneration or forgiveness. We live among a people afraid of their neighbors because they are of a different color or religion. We have been led by people who misled the nation and went to war, who have left behind them nothing but lies and desolation. When foundations are undermined, what can the just person do? Is the question put in the 11th Psalm. And the answer to that question, when foundations are undermined, what can the just person do? Is given in the words, the Lord is in his holy temple. It is in that temple that the word may be heard, which will remake and reconstitute a shattered world. The word which was in the beginning when the world was made, the word which became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it again. They did not understand that the temple he was speaking of was his body. After his resurrection, his disciples recalled what he had said, and they believed the scripture and the words which Jesus had spoken. What words, other than these words about his resurrection, words that shatter the mold of evolution and create a new heaven and a new earth, what other words had he spoken? Here are some of them. Love your enemies and pray for your persecutors. There must be no limit to your goodness. If you forgive others the wrongs they have done, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive the wrongs you have done. There is still one thing you lack. Sell everything you have and give to the poor. You cannot tell me that those words are not relevant today. People may not want to hear them, but that's a different matter. This building stands here as a place where people may come and hear the word of life. You are a living temple, so that the word may be effective in helping people and rebuilding society. When foundations are undermined, what can the just person do? The Lord is in his holy temple, the 11th Psalm. And in the next Psalm, the 12th, the matter is summed up like this. They say, by our tongues we shall prevail, with words as our ally who can master us. But there is an answer in this Psalm from the Lord in his holy temple. Now I will arise, says the Lord, for the poor are plundered, the needy grow. I shall place them in the safety for which they long. The word of God is eternal and does not change. For all I said about change at the beginning of this sermon, it seems that human nature and human society don't change all that much. Here's what the prophet Micah said. 2,500 years ago, at least according to the Revised English Bible. Do not hold forth, they say, holding forth themselves. Do not they spin words. And what had they been up to, these spin doctors? The next verse tells us. This is what the Lord says from his holy temple. You rise up as my enemy to my face, to strip the cloaks from travelers who felt safe, to drive women from their pleasant homes, and rob their children of my glory. As I said, Wheely Hill has never had a greater need of this building, which people may see, in which people may hear the word of him who had said, my name will be there. To which people may come and offer prayer with hope at times when foundations are undermined. A building from which people go in the power of the Holy Spirit and in answer to the prayer, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let us give thanks and rededicate this building so that all who pass by may have new hope, knowing it is there. May you continue to be a beacon of light, as you have always been, to those who come from all over the world to study in this place. Here let them be welcome. Let them know that even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow has her nest, where she rears her brood beside your altars, Lord of hosts, my King and God. And in the words of the 122nd Psalm, I will say, I rejoiced when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Pray for her peace. May those who love you prosper. Peace be within you. For the sake of these my friends, I shall say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I shall pray for your well-being. Amen.